disclaimer. The following broadcast gives a true and honest account of the events described, and all evidence and details herein are solely factual. What you are about to hear is real and may disturb you. Caution is strongly advised. Welcome to Dead Souls Social Club.
There exists a nightmare that is more horrifying than any other. A fear so real that it stays with you even after you wake, lingering in your mind and petrifying your soul. It's a nightmare that has haunted hundreds of thousands of people the world over, and for centuries it has stalked and crept in the darkness. Science, psychology, and religion all claim to have answers for this phenomenon, for this entity. But what is the truth? Are thousands of people experiencing the same dreams? Or is the phenomenon an experience that happens in the real world, leaving us confused and terrified? I've wanted to produce an episode regarding sleep paralysis for a while. It's something that I experienced periodically over a number of years as a preteen, but it kind of just stopped happening to me. It's one of the strangest things I've ever experienced. WebMD describes sleep paralysis as the following. A feeling of being conscious but unable to move. It occurs when a person passes between stages of wakefulness and sleep. During these transitions, they may be unable to move or speak for a few seconds, up to a few minutes. Some people may also feel pressure or a sense of choking. They describe sleep paralysis as the following. When you cannot move or speak as you are waking up or falling asleep. The temporary paralysis can be scary, but it is harmless, and most people will only get it once or twice in their entire lifetime. During sleep paralysis, you may feel awake, but you cannot move, speak, or open your eyes. Like someone is in your room. Like something is pushing you down. You may also feel frightened or scared. Sleep paralysis happens when you cannot move your muscles as you are waking up or falling asleep. This is because you are in sleep mode, but your brain is active. It is not clear why sleep paralysis can happen, but it has been linked with the following conditions. Insomnia, disrupted sleeping patterns, for example, because of shift work or jet lag, narcolepsy, post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. Globally, on average, but how can we be sure unless we are there with them in those final moments? How do we know? For those of you who have experienced sleep paralysis in your lives, listen on. We'll come back to you in a short while. But for those of you who have never experienced sleep paralysis, or possibly even never heard of it, I'd like to try something with you, kind of a mini experiment that you can do wherever you are listening. Unless you are driving, of course. If you are driving, either pull over to a safe, parked location, or pause this episode here and resume it when you get home and are relaxed. Also, make sure there are no distractions in the room with you for this one. Turn off the television, lock the children under the stairs or chain them up in the basement. Throw the dog the big juicy steak. you comfortable? Now, we are going to be using that imagination of yours for this little experiment, so get ready to dust it off if you haven't used it in a while. Firstly, imagine your childhood bedroom. Around the room are your toys and cute childhood belongings that remind you of love, happiness, and gifts from those closest to you. This is where you are going to be sleeping, in a small, perhaps single bed or cot, or maybe a bunk bed if you have brothers or sisters. So, get into bed and make yourself comfy, all snug. You're pretty exhausted after a long, hard day. All the lights are off. The pillow is a cushion of the softest air beneath your head. Your muscles soften and your eyes are closed. Your mind is completely blank. Don't think of anything. Clear your mind's eye entirely. All you can hear is my voice. Darkness is all you can picture. Now, come with me for a moment. All is still. Is there someone else there? You aren't sure. Maybe. Still, there's that slight distant feeling that there is someone in the room with you. Are they watching you sleep? That's weird. Strange and kind of creepy. But you are so tired. There can't be anyone there. There's no one else in the whole house. You are alone and resting so beautifully. Is it a man? Or maybe a woman? You can feel a presence growing stronger and stronger. Not wanting to open your eyes to check because you are so relaxed and so tired, it slowly turned into not wanting to open your eyes in case there is actually someone there. Wait, this is crazy. Before you can finish assuring yourself, the feeling of someone in your room something isn't right. You listen. Maybe you can hear the person moving slightly, or breathing maybe, but you hear nothing. The silence is deafening. Still, silent, motionless air. Pitch. The feeling that something isn't right. It's only growing inside you. How the hell did you end up here? This is crazy. There can't be anyone there. This isn't a movie. This isn't a horror story. This is your room. A safe, quiet little room. It's a normal weeknight. But there is something. Something other. There is definitely someone there. What the hell? What do they want? You are going to open your eyes and see him. What's he going to do? Are you going to have to run? What will he look like? Will he be human? Oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. You're laying on your back. Just one quick flick of your eyes and they are open. You'll be able to see everything. Everything and everyone. Without moving your body or head, your eyes quickly scan around your room. You realize it's 3:30 a.m. There's no one there. You're all alone. What's even better, it's not time to get up just yet. All fear dissipates as you realize how silly you were being. You begin to sink back into relaxation, although still glancing around your room. The faint streetlight from outside provides a small amount of light to identify the shapes in your room. The dream has left you a little bit shaken. It takes you a moment to notice, but no, all is right. You may be back in the real world, awake and aware, but something is off. You feel that sinking sensation of dread in the pit of your stomach. It's only at this exact moment that you realize you can't move. Your arms, legs, fingers, toes, head, they're all frozen, still, stagnant. But you can see, and you can move your eyes. Panic instantly grips you. You are paralyzed. Your mind begins racing. What is happening? You can move your eyes, so you look down at your body, laying flat, as if to get some understanding of why you can't move. You see it laying there, flat and limp. That's when you catch sight of it on the periphery of your vision. Is it the presence from your dream? Your eyes begin to focus on a shadow at the far side of the room. No, this isn't a shadow. You can start to make out features. It looks kind of human. Although they're quite short. The figure moves slowly. Oh my God. It steps out of the darkness and stands at the foot of your bed. You can't fully make out all the details in the darkness of your room, but you can see it clearly enough now. It's a much older woman. Her back is bent and crooked. She is staring at you. Her eyes are dark, yet peer deep inside you. She's smiling, but it's not a pleasant smile. It's not happy or joyous. It's not one that fills you with love or any kind of positive emotion. This smile sends a cold shiver down your spine. This smile makes you want to scream, but you don't. You can't. The old woman slowly moves onto your bed. You're trying to muster up every ounce of energy you can to move, but nothing happens. You are frozen, and all you can do is watch in the darkness. She slowly begins to crawl up your body. Her eyes, never diverting from yours, fixated above her chilling smile. Eventually, she reaches your chest and sits down, straddling her legs over your torso. The weight feels heavy. She presses down. She slowly leans forward, bringing her face toward yours. You can see her in detail now. She looks like an old woman, but something is off. Something isn't quite right. It seems like she's actually an imitation. You can't understand what isn't right about her. She brings her face really close to yours, just an inch or so away, still grinning and staring into you. You can see the wrinkles in her weathered face. That's when she places her hands around your neck. That's when she starts to squeeze. Her hands are cold, her fingers long and dirty. She squeezes more, strangling you. Your fingers or toes start to move, twitching. Your eyes widen as you find it harder and harder to breathe under her weight, with her crushing your airway. It might just be your fingertips or your foot, but life appears to be coming back into your body. The old woman slowly fades out of existence before your eyes, leaving you shaken but alive. Your body snaps back into life and you sit up, sweating, breathing heavily. Things start to feel normal again. Congratulations. You have just met the old hag. What I find so fascinating about the old hag and sleep paralysis in general is the consistent similarities for all those who experience it. People from all over the world for many hundreds of years have stated that they have experienced the exact scenario of which I just described. I too am one of those people. The phenomenon is very much real in existence. If you have ever suffered from sleep paralysis in the past, by the way, or have woken up to discover something in your room that wasn't entirely explainable, then I'd love to hear from you. DM me, email me, or leave a comment on our Instagram. We'd love to hear your stories and experiences too. I'll talk about my experiences more in a little bit. The word nightmare derives from the Old English Anglo-Saxon word of mare. It came from the thought that a mythological demon or goblin would torment people with frightening dreams. The word nightmare is entirely cognate, in fact, with the German Nachtmar or the Dutch term Nachtmerrie. In fact, to delve further into the etymology of the word, in Germanic and Slavic folklore, the mare was a damned and malicious old woman who visited you at night, sitting on your chest and taking your mind to terrifying and nightmarish places while you slept. The mare appears as the harbinger of terror and night fear throughout the history of multiple cultures. From Canada to Nigeria, Latvia to Pakistan, Cambodia to Brazil, throughout every European nation and even Native American lore. They all have stories about demons that visit us at night while we sleep. Demons who paralyze its victims, climbing on top of them, making it difficult to breathe and inflicting sheer terror and fear into its victims. What is incredible about the old hag is the consistency. The name for these demons seem to vary from culture to culture. They might be a djinn or a witch, the night hag, a macabre demon, or even Satan himself. But the descriptions of an old grinning woman consistently come up time and time again. In 1781, Swiss painter Henry Fuseli, while living in the United Kingdom, painted the now famous oil on canvas titled The Nightmare. The painting depicts a woman in deep sleep with her arms outstretched below her, while a demonic incubus crouches on her chest. The painting's dreamlike and haunting themes evoke strong male sexuality, infatuation, and obsession, but its literal imagery shows the psychological interpretation of a nightmare to those of the period, that of a malevolent being that causes bad dreams by sitting on the chest of the sleeper. The painting was a huge success at the time of its first exhibition in 1782 at the Royal Academy of Art in London. It both horrified and intrigued patrons, but also triggered a sense of association and connection within them, for many felt that they could relate to the imagery at hand. For those of you, by the way, who would like to view The Nightmare by Henry Fuseli, you can see it over on our Instagram, but also by visiting www.deathcult.com/nightmare. where we have hung the painting for your perusal. The scientific derivation of sleep paralysis is observed and thus explained with the following. During rapid eye movement, or REM sleep, the body is effectively paralyzed so as not to cause itself any harm while its dreams play out. Sometimes the body will awaken from this state, albeit stuck in a kind of limbo between a sleep state and awake or conscious state. The paralysis, on occasion, will continue for a few seconds. Your mind and body are confused by this transition and become terrified by the inability to move and instantly assumes it is in some form of danger. It is theorized that this, combined with a sudden emergence from the dream state, is often said to cause hallucinations. Many report that it starts with a sense of tingling in the body or even a type of static electricity that you can feel in the air. The feeling of an unknown entity in your room quickly establishes itself. Some can only feel the sensation of a presence around them, but others will see full-blown visualizations of a solid entity before them. What is happening here is our mind is effectively slipping in and out of various states of consciousness, morphing and altering what we perceive to be reality. It's fascinating that what we perceive to be the real world can be so malleable by our subconscious. Which poses the question, I suppose. How do we know that the real world around us is in fact the real world? or just our mind's interpretation? Although that's an entirely different episode altogether. Like I mentioned previously, I have personally experienced sleep paralysis multiple times in my life, particularly when I was younger, around the ages of 7 to 11 years of age. My experiences were the exact scenario that I had you imagine earlier in this episode. Every time played out exactly the same, but they never got any less terrifying the more I experienced it. These incidents always left me feeling strange and confused, but more so, terrified to my very core. I struggle to put into words what it feels like to experience this so often over many years as a child, yet it happened. And it wasn't until I was in my early 20s that I realized that this was actually a common phenomenon. I always got the feeling of anger or frustration from the entity, like I wasn't supposed to wake while the entity was doing whatever it was doing. The entity would shake violently as it quickly faded away. I remember always being terrified and shaken and unable to fall back asleep. I would lay there in bed for the next few hours until my alarm sounded in the morning. I discussed earlier the medical reasonings for sleep paralysis. I myself looked at these reasonings to see if they could be attributed to a 7-year-old me. Well, firstly, insomnia. I've never had it. And even when I was going through these episodes, I've always found myself able to sleep, so I'm not sure that insomnia would apply here. Disrupted sleeping patterns, for example, because of shift work or jet lag. Well, at 7, I didn't complete shift work, understandably, and I wasn't experiencing jet lag, understandably. At least, not consistently for a 4-year period that this went on. My sleep pattern was consistent, as being so young, I had, like many, a regular bedtime. I was a fairly easygoing child, so I didn't really stray away from this pattern. Next up is narcolepsy, and I can categorically say that I have never experienced or been diagnosed with narcolepsy. Given the nature of this diagnosis, I think it would be apparent to anyone if they were experiencing this or anything similar. Having talked to both my grandparents, who I lived with and who raised me, I'm certain that there is no family history of sleep paralysis. My grandfather, given the field of work that he was employed in, knew of the condition very well, and was certain that the condition did not lurk in our family's past. That leaves just 3 conditions which medically could trigger sleep paralysis, in theory. Post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, generalized anxiety disorder, or panic disorder. Well, I was raised in a loving family and had a great childhood surrounded by family and friends. I can recall with extreme confidence that I have never experienced nor have ever been diagnosed by a medical professional as having a panic disorder nor a generalized anxiety disorder, 2 things that would hold great characteristic in one's personality and lifestyle. That leaves simply PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. PTSD is an anxiety disorder that develops in some people who have experienced a shocking, scary, or dangerous event in their lives. Well, there is one thing in my youth that could fall under that description, so potentially a medical professional might lean towards that series of events to describe the trigger for sleep paralysis in my specific history. But what if the traumatic event in my past was directly related to my experience with sleep paralysis even before it occurred? I appreciate this sounds very vague at this point, but I'm going to dive more into that series of events and experience in the next episode. I'm pleased to say that since the age of 11, I have never seen the entity again, however, and I haven't gone through an episode of sleep paralysis, thankfully. But I wanted to bring up my personal experiences, because I'm not entirely confident that everything scientific and medical that I have read over the years does what I experienced justice. And further to that, as I have researched further, I've discovered more and more reports of shapeless forms, apparitions, the old hag, and demons that all follow a very close and similar playbook of events. I find it quite extraordinary that so many people the world over would experience the same exact thing or endure the same dream. It's uncanny and frankly astonishing. The idea that we conjure up the same vision that scares us when we are paralyzed and in a state of vulnerability is interesting. It feels much like reports of UFOs and extraterrestrials, that the appearance of these nightmare visitors should change as cultural and societal fears often do. During the Salem witch trials of 1692, visits from the old hag were abundant, with many thinking that the appearances in their dreams of the old hag were the witches themselves attempting to terrify the citizens of Salem. If these were simply hallucinations, then this makes complete sense and would form an honest understanding base to the whole phenomenon. In a terrified and superstitious society where the people are in fear of witches, a withered and ghoulish old crone appearing in your dreams would seem like the obvious manifestation that the sleep paralysis hallucination would take. So why is the old hag so prevalent even to this day? Why is a specifically Western, culturally demonic symbol seen the world over? Well, the old hag isn't the only sleep paralysis apparition people have seen, but it is merely the most common. There are reports of goblin-like creatures, shadow people, and demons that have all appeared in folklore, and terrifying reports from these that experience the phenomenon. There is even significant argument for the many reports of alien abductions which bear a striking resemblance to the sleep paralysis phenomenon, as well as encounters with fairies in Western culture throughout the centuries. You could even look back to tales of the incubus and succubus as extensions of the phenomenon, as the traits all follow the same path. But time and time again, it's the old woman, the grotesque witch-like hag that regularly rears her ugly head. Over the course of many thousands of years, people have seen her. There is no other known physical or mental affliction that we have recorded or are aware of where hallucinogenic or actual physical experiences all routinely produce the same encounter, phenomenon, or visual and auditory outcome. None. The number of contributing factors that would form any hallucination would be in the hundreds, whether they are psychological or physical. So the mathematical chance for unrelated individuals raised in a multitude of cultures with varying experiences and socio-economic origins at varying points in their lifetimes with varying degrees of education and a multitude of other factors is staggering. It has to be in the billions or trillions to one. Yet it happens every day. Maybe the old woman smiling as she creeps into your room isn't its true form at all. I think one of the most unnatural aspects of the hag is the report of its movement. The hag is often described as moving slowly. You wake up in the darkness and see her standing in the doorway to your room, with that smile spread effortlessly across her face. It's aware that you can't move, that you are at their mercy. It knows there's no way you can defend yourself. So its movements are slow, deliberate, calculated. Doesn't try to hide from you. It takes its time and moves as slowly as it pleases towards you. In the situation, it has all the power. It's almost like it's enjoying the fear that it instills within you, like it's feeding off your terror. Maybe the entity doesn't need to cause us physical harm at all. Maybe that what it wants to take from you is something else. It is estimated that experiences with this phenomena are so common worldwide that around 1 in 4 people have had an experience of sleep paralysis and meeting the old hag. The vast majority of instances, though, are sporadic or few for each individual. It appears from the data that there's only a very small percentage of the global population that experience sleep paralysis on a regular basis or for prolonged periods of time. So I guess, if nothing else, if you are unlucky enough to experience this phenomenon, you're part of a very unlucky minority. But this wouldn't be Dead Soul Social Club if we just heard the accepted narrative and then moved on, right? After all, scientific theories aside, the basis for this phenomenon from a medical perspective leaves many holes in the story. There are many questions unanswered, and also, many of the considered answers don't seem to make any sense. If you are of the belief that these are paranormal events, then they may be the most commonly witnessed paranormal encounters that we are aware of. Millions of people have experienced and continue to experience visit from these entities that most have simply shrugged off as a simple trick of the mind. Even though, when considered thought is given, there is no sense in the allowed theory. In some cultures, it is believed that you could have someone unleash the hag against you as some sort of curse, possibly for wrongdoings you have made against them. This piece of folklore is interesting, as it would seem to indicate that the entity or experience is physical and controlled rather than a hallucination. But that's just folklore, right? At the start of this episode, I conjectured that so many people have passed away peacefully in their sleep, but maybe that hasn't always been strictly true. Well, for those of you who are horror movie fans, you may recall a movie from the 1980s which was directed by the renowned Wes Craven. The film was called A Nightmare on Elm Street. Well, Craven got the idea for A Nightmare on Elm Street from a news story in the LA Times. The story was about a child refugee from Cambodia. The child was terrified to sleep for fear that he would be attacked in his bed by a demon who preyed on people as they slept. Now, this child had survived a horrific genocide in his home country of Cambodia. It's a fair assumption that this kind of experience comes a significant amount of trauma, or PTSD. Except for what happened next. The child finally did fall asleep after resisting for so long. His parents were obviously relieved and hoped that this would be the end of the sleepless nights which they'd experienced through worry over their child's health. Then, reportedly, they heard the screams in the middle of the night. Both parents rushed to their child's bed, but they were too late. He was dead. The cause of death was unknown, the local media reported at the time. But what made this incident so puzzling was that he wasn't alone. Several dozen South Asian refugees around that time had passed away in their sleep under mysterious circumstances. This led authorities who investigated the deaths to the diagnosis of sudden unexplained nocturnal death syndrome. Some scholars have opined that a strong cultural belief in demons, along with experiences of trauma and moving to a mysterious new country, could have created a deadly cocktail of psychological events for the mind to play on, thus evolving into the deaths of these refugees. That aside, the article gave Wes Craven a fantastic idea for a story about a paranormal demon that stalks young people in their sleep. And so, Freddy Krueger was born. In the 19th century, the folks over in Germany would commonly recite a prayer prior to going to sleep. The prayer was to ward off the demons that stalked their dreams in the dark of night. The prayer, in their native German, went as so.
Higher leg ich mich schlafen, keine Nachtmar soll mich plagen, bis sie schwemmen alle Wasser, die auf Erden fließen, und tellet alle Stern, die im Firmament erscheinen, dazu helfe mir Gott Vater, Sohn und Heiliger Geist. Amen.
Don't worry, I also have the English for my friends who aren't up to speed on their Deutsch. Here it is.
Here I am lying down to sleep. No nightmare shall plague me, until they have swum through all the waters that flow upon the earth, and counted all stars that appear in the firmament. Thus help me God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
For those listening who suffer with common occurrences of sleep paralysis, it might be worth giving it a try. What do you have to lose, after all? So, am I suggesting that there might be some sort of physical element to the sleep paralysis entity? Possibly. There is actually evidence to support that too. I'm going to dig deeper into that evidence and also talk about an incident from my past that led me to believe that the sleep paralysis entity isn't only a psychological creation. Come back later this week for part two. See you then.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show tonight. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review on your chosen podcast platform and subscribe to our show so that you never miss an episode. Our shows aren't sponsored by any company or corporation, so any support you can give us goes a long way in supporting the work that we do. Visit deathcult.com for more information on how you can help us and support our broadcasts. There you can also find links to our socials, Patreon, and episodes. From all of us here at Dead Souls, sleep tight.